Hello and welcome to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher, in conversation with Lynn Worsley about resilient adults. If only the world could have more resilient adults. Lynn is a clinical psychologist and director of the Resilience Centre in Sydney, Australia, and has a particular model that guides therapy, research, and training at the centre.
The model's called the Resilience Donut.
Yum.
Yeah, but the resilience donut is—it's actually the shape of a donut.
Okay.
And so we've made this model to really guide the work that we do, because it gives us a bit of an idea of where a person is nested. So the resilience donut has both an inside circle and an outside circle, and in the inside circle, the person has a sense of themselves, they have a sense of the resources that they've got around them to help them, and it also gives them a sense of, you know, their efficacy, the things that they can do well. But they get the message from the outside part of the donut, which is all of the areas that give them positive and, you know, I guess messages that say, yes, you can do this and so on. You also get some negative messages from people and some resources around you. So the resilience donut is this fantastic model that enables you to work out, where are the best messages coming from? How can I activate the most helpful and useful resources to build my self-esteem, to actually enable me to make good changes, enable me to be adaptable, and perhaps even develop my social skills and my levels of competence as I get older?
How would you say this model guides you in therapy?
Well, in therapy, what I would do, and everyone would do in the centre, would be to use it as a sort of a mental model to gather information. So, for example, I might be talking to you, for example, and I might then say, oh, okay, so Lee, you know, what's happening in your family? Let's have a little, you know, talk to me about your relationships. What sort of skills are you good at? I might be gathering information that sort of takes me, it almost like completes the flesh of the donut, so that I have this really lovely picture of what you're like when you're working well. And that gives me this great picture of what resources I've got to guide me in helping you in a therapeutic situation.
We're talking about adults here, but is it also for children?
Yes, yes. Okay. Look, the model, it's very playful. It looks like a sort of a playful, colourful donut. And that's where we started, by looking at it how a child develops their levels of resilience. But with an adult, what we've found is that the donut is a similar model. It's got some different characteristics in the model, but it's for both adults and children. And I think really what it tells us is that we're always developing, we're always changing, and we're always developing new neurons, which we know now too, but we're also developing new friendships, new connections, and we're going through many transitions in our life.
And many challenges to resilience as well.
Oh, absolutely. And we know too that when we're talking about resilience, we're talking about three concepts.
Yeah.
The concept of, you know, what resources have you got to help you to cope, and how are you developing your levels of competence? Are you changing from day to day? And we know that we, even as we age, we are still developing new neurons and new skills.
Yes.
But we also know that we have to have levels of adversity in order to practice those skills. So those three things sort of all interact, and the donut helps us to work out how that interaction's going. And what I believe in using the donut is that we're able to then tweak things in our life. You know, we can start thinking of how we might be able to optimize our performance by tweaking who's out on our team at the time.
Okay. So in practical terms, how do you apply it, the resilience donut, to adults?
Okay. So what I would be looking for, if I was applying to, you know, to an adult I was seeing perhaps in therapy or to myself, I would be thinking about, okay, I'm about to go through something difficult. I'd be looking at, what are my spheres of influence? You know, where have I got my best resources? Is it in my partner? Is it in my family? Is it in my my friends? Is it my colleagues at work? You know, and so on. And so what I would be doing is working out how I can draw in the best in order to cope with what I'm about to go through. If I'm also going through trauma myself, or I have someone who's going through something really hard, I can then say, look, it's really important that you're nested in some support. And it may be that one of the main supports has just passed away, or there's been a trauma that has taken away the main support. Might be some work, or it might be, you know, particularly with people in Syria, they might have lost everything in their donut. And what we would be working with there is, if we've got people going through massive trauma, how can we quickly put together levels of support that enable them to have some good, strong spheres of influence so that they can build up their self-esteem and build up their sense of efficacy so they can cope?
Yes.
One of the other aspects that we've got is that if you have a, you're working with someone and they're really low, they're really not coping, what often happens is that there's a victim mentality that comes out. And in the victim mentality, it means that they sometimes, in their trauma, dump on another person. And when they dump on another person, the other person walks away feeling overwhelmed and they feel better. And so that necessarily, it might be helpful for them at the time, but it's not necessarily helpful long term, and it doesn't build resilience. So what would be really nice is that if they have the agency, and when we talk about agency, it's like they have the sense of their own change. So what it means when we talk about agency is who is the agent of change in the conversation? If I said to you, Lee, I want you to go and do this, this, and this, and this, and you'll feel a lot better, I have the agency of your life.
Yes.
Okay? But if I ask you, Lee, what have you done in the past that helps you? What have you done that helps you through your difficulties? Or what's helped you before? You can say, oh, well, I've had this person and I've had this person, and, you know, I've actually gone off and retreated for a while and I've worked out a new plan. Oh, and then I'd be saying, oh, so tell me how you did that. The conversation then means all I'm doing is trying to find where your spheres of influence were, or where your donut moments were, or where your relationships were that were helpful in the past. And I'm asking you, so you have the agency. So when we start working with agency, it's just vitally important that a person stays as the agent of change. All too often, we have almost like a prescriptive mentality. I prescribe this behavior, you're going to have certain mindfulness skills you're going to do, and you're going to do this certain exercise, and you're going to, you know, do something that's going to set you up so that you're much better. You can have special CBT, which is cognitive behavior therapy. Well, all that's very good, but if the person giving you that has the agency, you're not going to make any difference.
You said donut moment. Explain what you mean there, because it's a common term and a very useful one.
Okay, a donut moment. So with the resilience donut, there are seven factors that build your sphere of influence. What the donut moment says is that you only need three. If you have three of those factors all happening at the one time, you have what you call a donut moment. And when you have a donut moment, it's almost like it sort of infuses into you a sense of, oh, I have people to help me to cope, and I am a good person, and I can do things to change my circumstances. And it's almost like a bank of currency that gives you that sense of, oh, I can do this, and you have a memory of that for later. You know, I actually think the more donut moments we have during our life, the better equipped we are in our declining years. When I see people in nursing homes, I look at those people who haven't had, you know, that connections as strongly as others. And those who've had those connections, those donut moments of connections, they're the ones who seem to have almost like a real sense of purpose and a real sense of managing as they go through those most difficult years in their lives.
This is the Human Condition Podcast. Thanks for your company. I'm in conversation with clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. So how does the resilience donut help with, as Lynn puts it, agency?
If I teach you about the resilience donut, you can say, look, oh, I'm going to be changing jobs. So if I change jobs, what do I need in order to make it so that I'm actually resilient in this process? So the donut would then say, okay, you know, how where are my most helpful resources? How can I draw them together in order to work? It might also tell you that you've got you're going to be moving away from all of your strengths. And that's going to, it's like a recipe for disaster.
Yes, yes.
So if you have that sort of knowledge, you can then say, okay, if I'm going to be moving away from all of my strengths, I'm going to have to work out how I can put some strengths in place, but I'm going to do that. And so the agency stays with me to do that, not waiting for me to collapse in order to do something more with it. It also means that, you know, if I'm going through trauma or grief, I can then think through, well, I need to do a donut moment. I need to keep my strongest, most helpful resources connected. I don't want to. I want to stay under the doona, and I want to do stuff that's not really helpful, because I feel like I want to be really mean to myself because I'm going through this trauma. But in essence, what I do know is that if I'm going to get through this and be resilient, I'm going to have to activate my most helpful resources at the most difficult times. And the donut gives you almost like a formula or a recipe to do that.
So here at the Resilience Centre, you have research and training as well as therapy. How do they work with the donut model?
Okay, so we have this very hard task that we've set ourselves at the Resilience Centre, knowing full well that resilience is a process, and the process is about connecting with others and building the most helpful resources at one time. So what we've done is that we've maintained a client-centered approach at the Resilience Centre. Now that means if you're going to do research and you've got a client-centered approach, the research has to benefit that client.
Mm.
So that's a bit of a hard task.
It's different.
It's different because we're not just collecting data, and we're not collecting data about all your problems. We're collecting data about what is therapeutically useful. So when we're client-centered, it means that our research has to be immediately fed back to the client, and that has to be almost a bit like a Fitbit. Give them information as they're going so that they're able to go, oh, okay, so this is what I need to do in order to change.
I've never heard anything like that in research, actually.
Well, it's new. And yeah. I think, well, my phrase for it is called process research. So if you've got process research, you basically are informing the client in the process of their change. So everyone at the centre is tested at the beginning of their sessions, and at the end of the sessions, they also tell us how we've performed. But that means it's not just about how we've performed as therapists, it's also about how the interaction in our relationship is performing, and is it helpful, and what can we need to change. So that's what I would call client-centered or client-informed research. So the other thing we do is that we make sure that the research itself is therapeutic. So when we run a group, the little kids who come in and do our groups, they get to do their own resilience report, and then they can track their process as they go through the group. And some of them are saying, oh, I didn't do as well this week, so I need to do some more donut moments, and look what happened, I did some more donut moments and my competence went up. But they don't use the word competence, they might just say, oh, I'm much better socially this week.
Fantastic.
It's a really helpful way of doing research. And I feel like it's ethical. I'm sick and tired of having people do research and then not really know what's happened with their research at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They just sort of have somehow contributed and end up with a scratchy at the end for a reward for it. So
now, Lynn, all this sounds very positive and hopeful, but does it also mean that you ignore the problems, the difficulties, the challenges of the human condition? Because the human condition is not always so positive.
No. It does sound positive and hopeful, and I'd like to say that process is very positive and hopeful. But I think the way that we're working at the moment means that what we do is that we make sure someone is very safe and someone is very well connected in the process of their change. But we also know that their people come for therapy because there is a difficulty. And so it's essentially saying, let's nest you in a safe place as we negotiate these difficulties. Sometimes you nest them so safely that the difficulties don't seem so huge and that we've got a better approach to it. But what we are very, very careful of here is making sure that somebody is safe on all counts.
Yes.
So if I'm working with a couple, for example, we won't go straight to what are the problems and what are the issues. We'll be going through, what are the strengths? Why have you come here? You know, what do you value about your marriage in order to make a difference? And, you know, what do you want us to be really mindful about the strengths about you? And who's supportive of you. And once we've had those sort of conversations, you then get to see a person at their best. You almost like have a goal. You almost like have a glimpse at what they are hoping to achieve and get to. And that becomes a safe place to then start working on some difficulties.
Yeah. Okay, so finally and personally, tell me about a donut moment in the life, the resilient life of Lynn Worsley.
Okay, a donut moment for me. I guess it's one of the things that's a bit difficult for me is that I have a lot of donut moments because I'm the Mrs. Resilient Donut person. but one of the really lovely donut moments I have, and I think I can fly high on it for a long time, is that I like to surf.
Yeah.
I'm not a brilliant surfer. I'm just better than my husband, and that's all that matters.
if this was television, we could show pictures.
Yes, we could, and that wouldn't be very nice. but I really love surfing. I love the water.
Yeah.
And so a donut moment for me would be to be surfing alongside my husband, as long as I'm better than him, and also maybe with my son or a friend, and just that whole experience when I've got three aspects of my donut in place: my skill, my partner, and my friend or my son. And when we are surfing together, it's a sense of, you know, I have these people who really care about me, and I'm okay. It doesn't matter if I'm not really good at this, but I'm okay. I can do stuff. And by the end of that, I feel really strong. I might do that with other sports as well. I can go off on my own and do something, but it doesn't have the same effect as when I'm doing it with my strongest, most helpful connections. Also, I have many stories with people who have had donut moments that have turned their lives around. You know, one time I was talking to this young man who had an experience where he'd come from another country. He was, you know, completely disconnected. He was only 14. He went along to a new school. He didn't have any English. No one spoke his language, and he was completely disconnected. And the donut moment came for him when he just happened to be doing a dance move at the school gate, and another kid copied his dance move at the school gate, and a teacher walked past and copied the dance move.
Wow.
So that was like, you know, a really little tiny donut moment that was able to be built on.
But what a moment. Imagine.
An absolute moment. There was no language, and he just happened to be able to do this dance move. Someone noticed that it was good. They copied him, so there was a connection, so it was a peer, and then a teacher walked past. And from that, the teacher was then on the playground duty the next day. He connected with him and did a dance, and then everyone started clapping. And so then they started putting him on assembly, and then they started a dance group. And from then on, he started to be able to connect, put some English in that, and it was the beginning of a much better outcome for him.
My spine is tingling. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm not alone, actually.
It was just beautiful.
What a story.
Yeah.
What a conversation, what a model. It's a great model, and great wisdom in it. And I'm sure it's changed many, many lives. Thank you so much for all your wisdom.
Thanks, Lee. Wonderful.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. There are lots of really helpful resources available on resilience and so much more at the Resilience Centre website, www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.